St. George's number one station with Washington County's top talk show. The Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning, everybody. It is, 9 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Thursday morning, the 25th day of May. How are you? I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning into the show. Nanette Billings is with me today on Mayor Thursday. She's the mayor of Hurricane City.
Hi, thanks Nanette. For having me, Andy.
How you doing? Is that leather, that jacket?
It's not wool.
It's nice. I don't know what it is. It's nice.
Thank you.
But thanks for coming in today. Good to have you. You know, yesterday we were going through news story. Yesterday, day before yesterday, anyway, and we got this news story on the wire. It said Hurricane City is going to close one of its downtown streets to further explore the possibility of how big the farmers market can be, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, okay, that's weird that it made the wire, but it is important that a street is going to be closed. And so I thought, well, I know just the person who we can ask about it. And so I put a little note on my thing. Let's ask the mayor of Hurricane about the downtown farmers market and about what's going on there. First of all, is the street going to close, or is it just on Saturdays, or how does that work?
So temporarily, in our last council meeting, the council approved to have it closed from May, over Memorial weekend, so it would be the Monday Memorial Day.
Okay, the 29th,
yeah. Yep, and it would go until Labor Day. September.
So all summer.
All summer. And the temporary closure is really just to see how it works with our community. Currently, that road, it's open most of the time, but we do have closures there often. Like if we're doing the Christmas Tree Festival or Peach Days, or if we're doing the Farmers Market, the car show, for other events, we'll close it. And so currently, you can drive through there when it's not closed, and there's plenty of places, maybe, I don't know, 25 places you can park along the street. But I'm going to just say, we'll see how it goes. I don't know if I'm excited about it or not. I like to be able to drive down that road, and if you want to be able to pull off, because it's not a busy street to go to, like, Chamber of Commerce. If you're going to run in and take your child into a karate class or whatever, there's usually parking right there on the road. So I'm not sure if it's going to be a good idea, but I do know that walking 25 steps, or it's like walking a Walmart parking lot to get into Walmart, it's not a long...
Right.
All of the parking that we have on the streets.
You want to tell people what street exactly we're talking about?
Yeah. So between State Street and 100 mm-hmm. South, and the street is actually 100 West.
100 West. Okay.
Yeah.
Right,
so it's between the community center and Fine Arts. So
okay.
Between those two. And, I mean, is it going to be a good option? Sure. Because you're not going to have kids getting ran over, going back and forth to and from different classes or theater. And there is a... more potential, but is that the main reason? I think it's so that we can have other more permanent things in that area to make it more of a walkable community for that area.
It's kind of exploratory. It's not for sure going to close forever. It's
right.
Just let's see how this goes,
right.
See if people like it, if people hate it. I'm sure you'll get input either way. On that. And
There's a couple of really good benefits. One, we've been exploring a pull-through, because some parents are thinking, I want to be able to drop my child off close to where they have maybe gymnastics or karate or mm-hmm. dance or whatever. Well, just stopping in the street is not a traffic plan. That's not a good idea, just to say, I'm going to stop right here and just you jump out. And so that's what's currently happening. And if we have a pull-through where they can just pull through, drop a child off, but it's not a parking spot, they can just pull through, and there's several spots right there, kind of like when you go to the school. There's pull-throughs, and it makes it so it's safe for kids to get in and out of your car,
mm-hmm.
but you can't just park there. And I think that might be a good option, but we do have some of those options, the pull-through.
Does the having the farmer's market, is that part of it? I mean, talking with Chris Staley over in Washington City, they have so much to have a desire to make the downtown area more of a walkable, more of a community feel to it. Is that what you're going for too in Hurricane?
And more than anything, for our community to be able to come, because we have like movies in the park, and we have people that come in and play some kind of a program, not necessarily all bands, but some of them are maybe a symphony or live music, that kind of thing, in our parks. And so this just makes it so it's walkable and it's safe. People can come, and then we have enough space that we can have the food trucks pull in and not have traffic. So it just gives that downtown feel right there. And that is what we're kind of searching for, is how can we make our community a little bit more just community oriented, so people can show up and spend time together, make it easy and safe.
Are there any businesses there that will be affected by this road closure?
Nope.
None at all. Okay.
Nope. That's good. And there were a couple of businesses, like Tom's Clip Joint, our former mayor, Tom Hershey. And that building in Solo Roca, that's a little Latino grocery store, everyone has left that building, and we are actually taking the building down and that home next to it. So they are both falling down. And they both have, I mean, it's not cosmetic. It really is. The infrastructure of that building doesn't have any rebar in it. The bricks are, I mean, if there's any slight earthquake, it's going to fall. But honestly, it's already coming down because you can see the light through all the bricks and cracks.
Oh, wow.
And so it's just not safe anymore. And there's a lot of problems within all the buildings with asbestos and stuff, so we're taking them both down, and the city owns both of them, and then it's just going to be more parking, more area for Peach Days and to be able to enjoy our community.
Nice. So. Very nice. Cool. We're talking with Nanette Billings, mayor of Hurricane City. If you have a question for Nanette, want to talk to her, you can call at 435. It's 673-5890. I had to pause to look for my phone behind me, and if you want to text,
Tell you, the downtown, we're working on a downtown master plan currently, and only people that want to build something, it will be, when you say, would it affect someone? Not that street, but around that area, if people want to build something that's more walkable, outside restaurants, seating, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. we're working on this downtown master plan that is in the planning commission right now, and they'll make a recommendation to come to council. And so some of those mixed uses are part of that, so people can have or build something that's commercial on the bottom. And but we have several of those in Hurricane right now, right about on Main Street. Several on Main Street, little places that have commercial on the bottom and someone lives above them. But
the progression of downtowns in the U.S. of A has been interesting, because I would say middle of the 20th century, the 1950s, downtowns were where it was at. I mean, there were, you know, you had your general store, your hardware store, whatever, and people would gather there and they would go and hang out, and they would, you know, they go sit at the soda shop or whatever. And then you had it somewhere 70s, 80s, in there, 90s even, downtowns became passe. Nobody wanted to be downtown. Those gathering places started gathering moss instead of people, and people went away from downtown. It's actually kind of fun to see now we're starting to try and reclaim downtown. St. George has done so much. Washington has done so much. Hurricane is on its way to doing some things to make downtown a place that people want to be again.
Right.
I guess that's important.
Well, gathering and making connections with people is what's important. So where they do it, it's just, this is, I mean, we have a park there. We have a space. We have the community center there. So in the fine arts building, so people can come to, like, theater. It just makes so that it makes sense to have a, since we have a place, make it nice enough so people will gather there.
Just got a text, asked the mayor why 2800 West is not open yet.
Oh, that's such a great question.
Okay.
Okay, so the actual road is good, but the walking path, when the engineering was done, most of that road is basalt, so they had to blast to build that road.
Okay.
Because of the lava. But there's a lot of sandstone, and even not even just sandstone, but just dirt that started caving in on the walkway.
Oh no.
And so until it's safe, which they're still working on the engineering and moving and cutting the mountain back, until it's safe, we're not opening it. So yeah.
Okay.
But that's a great question.
Any time frame on how long you think it'll be?
We're hoping this month. But it's been all month they've been working on it too, so we'll see. I think in the next few weeks.
So the actual road, driving part of it is fine.
Yeah, but it's still closed because we can't have people we can't be liable for something that's not safe. And we had rocks come down onto it. I mean, it really wasn't. There's some issues that needs to be fixed.
You do not want to be walking on a walking path and have to dodge falling boulders.
Exactly.
That is not good.
It just, there's a cut right there, and it's just not safe. And then trying to work out that cut with the developer, developer who owns the land that we're affecting, because then it cuts into their development. But we have to do it, and we've just mitigated, and we're trying to, you know, fix it.
I wanted to ask you about the grass rebate. I had Zach Renstrom on yesterday, and I actually wrote a story on 890kdxu.com about how to get the grass rebate and what you have to do and how to apply, et cetera. And someone had mentioned that they did what they thought they were supposed to do, but they live in Hurricane and didn't get the rebate, and they wanted to know why. And Zach said, well, Hurricane is working toward getting there, but right now, as it sounds right now, according to Zach yesterday, you cannot get the grass rebate. Where you take the grass out and put it something a little more eco-friendly in, water-friendly in Hurricane. Is that right?
Yep. Santa Clara, Lavurican, and Hurricane all have a conservation ordinance. In order to get the grass rebate, you had to pass one, which all of us did. In that conservation ordinance, Santa Clara and Lavurican kind of let out on this and said, hey, our area that has the historical larger lots that are half acre or bigger that the canal company has shareholders with outside watering, they'll be exempt. And with the same conservation, like if you build a home, there's only probably 50 in Santa Clara. I don't know how many in Lavurican. I don't know how many in Hurricane, but they have the outside secondary component. Like if you build in Dixie Springs, that wouldn't be part of that because you do not have, or in Sky Mountain or other areas that don't have the secondary watering. But the district came back and said, well, I don't know if we want to do that. And so Santa Clara and Lavurican and Hurricane are exempt from the rebate at this point. The state offered $1 and the district $1. Now the state's offering, I think, $2 and the district's offering $1, so it'll be $3. And you do have to actually turn in something to the district to qualify.
Right.
And we had a few people call us and say, hey, we've taken out our grass. How do we get this rebate? I said, you got to meet with them first. Yeah, you have to ask for it, and you can't just say, oh, I did it. How can I get it?
Yeah.
And so that's something, but these other communities that are part of it, I know the first allotment of money, I don't know, it was like $1 million from the state and probably that much from the district. It was gone in the first month or so, and then the state has reallocated some other funds to pull out some other sod. So we'll kind of see, but we are working on it, and I don't know what the answer is right now because we're working on our secondary system as well, expanding that, and the use, there's a difference when you're using secondary water and canal shares because they have, and when they're changing use from agriculture to home secondary system. So anyway, we're working on it. Yeah, got a good council and they're trying to figure that out.
Okay. Right now the thing people need to realize too, first of all, in Hurricane is not eligible at the moment, but maybe soon. The other thing is, if you're planning on doing this, you don't just do it yourself, go off on your own and say, hey, I want some money now. That's not how it works. You actually have to go to the Water Conservancy District website, it's wcwcd.org, and fill out an application. They come out to your yard or whatever it is, and you present to them what you're planning on doing. They will approve, or if it's not good enough or it doesn't work, they'll disapprove it. But at some point, you'll get approval, and then at the end, you have to show them that you actually did that. One of the things that Zach was telling me yesterday is you cannot just put concrete in.
Right.
You can't take your grass out and lay some concrete.
Yeah.
That's not water-friendly. That's going to create a very hot urban jungle, and so they're trying to avoid that as well.
It's more desert scape they're talking about making sure that,
And you can put artificial turf in.
You can.
But that's a little bit more expensive than just, you know, putting maybe some rocks and some trees and desert landscape in.
Right.
So, but, that's something that... did you guys participate in a little bit of the flip blitz with some of the city areas taking turf out?
So during the Fitbits, that was not a budgeted item in our year. Last mm-hmm. year. And so we put some things in this year, but last year we ended up saying, okay, which ones do we want to do? But we didn't take anything out at that time because we didn't have any money to replace or the manpower, the amount of people. And it was something that was just like, oh, we should do this. And so we said, we'll participate. And so now we actually have four different sections that we've looked at and said, let's, and that will be in our July budget. But during the year, no.
And as we're reminded, and you know as a mayor, we keep hearing, look, we live in a desert, and if there's areas that you, it used to be grass was a sign of wealth, right? And if you had lots of grass that you didn't really even use, that meant you were really rich. Hey, I can afford this, but we need to get beyond that now, living in a desert, and say, look, if there's a section of grass here and nobody ever uses it, and, you know, every 2 weeks some guy goes and mows it, that's the only time it's ever stepped on, that's the kind of grass that, we need to take out, and I'm sure you're very cognizant of that as a mayor.
I am, and then the cost to remove grass, and government entity wasn't included in this rebate program at first, but I think they're working on something now. But the challenge with just putting that in our budget is manpower as well, because it costs a lot of money. And so we're looking at the tax dollars saying, how can we do a good job to... And so we're working on that, but that's something that we're putting in there, is how can we take grass out?
You're not the federal government and you can just make up money whenever you want.
We can't print our own right now. We have to stay within a budget. It's weird.
Well, I did want to talk a minute about elections. We don't want to get people too fired up, but basically Hurricane has gone a little bit different way than a lot of the rest of the county when it comes to elections. Do you want to explain what that means?
Well, first of all, we have three seats open, three council seats, and they declare between June 1st and June 7th, and after they declare...
Next week, pretty much.
Yeah. And after they declare, then we'll know who's going to be on the ballot, and that will determine if we have a primary election, because you have to have double the number that... of seats open, so you have to have more than six. So we have three seats open, and you have to have more than six in order to have a primary.
Okay.
And then it eliminates it down to six for the general election. When I ran a few years ago, there were 13, and so narrowed it down to six, and then six
and narrowed down to three,
and then those three that were elected. So the Hurricane City, we have an agreement. And it's an interlocal agreement with Washington County.
Right.
And that agreement is that Washington County, since they hold the voter rolls, they will print they'll purchase the special paper and the envelopes. They'll print the ballots. They'll mail the ballots. They will receive the ballots back. They will run them through their machine. And the council, which is the board of canvassers, they would like to meet and, verify, go through each ballot and...
And every ballot.
If you want to count, if you want to call it count, sure, that's what they want to do. They want to look through and verify every signature. And not even just the ones that are there, but also the ballots they're saying are not cured. Last year we had 500 ballots out of the probably 36,000. So we won't have that many in our city. That's just the whole county of the 500. So we might have 100. I don't know, that we look at, because the Board of Canvassers are the ultimate decision on whether or not you count that ballot, and somebody determined it to be not valid, like from the envelope, saying this envelope isn't valid because maybe the signature's not there,
right,
or it's different if they signed their initials instead of their signature, or whatever. I don't,
something was a corner was torn, whatever.
There's always something, but the Board of Canvassers can determine whether or not it's a valid actual ballot. So that's all, just verification.
And
that's what we're supposed to do. It says you're supposed to look at every ballot. You can ask every question. You can see every bit of information. That's what our council wants to do.
How many ballots do you anticipate looking at then?
Probably between 5,000 to 5,500, I'm going to guess.
That's quite a few. If that's for this election, it's kind of an off-year election. What about when we get to 2024?
So we're not in charge of the 2024 election. We're only in charge of a municipal election.
Okay.
And so during that election, that wouldn't be the same. Now, the Board of Canvassers can go in at any time and look at the ballots during that canvassing period and during the curing process after the ballots have been received. Not until then. Like, sometimes the county will go in and you can go in, like anyone on our, that's a canvasser or anyone that's in the public can go to the county at any time and see the process.
One of the person that asked about the 2800 West was also asking about the walkway. They said, can't you open the road but close the walkway?
Yeah. I think because they're using machines, and then they don't have to worry about a closure while it's already closed and they're fixing it. It's just getting machines in and out. So that's a good question, but not at this time because it's not safe.
Okay, very good. Yeah. She's Nanette Billings, mayor of Hurricane City. We're going to take a break. When we come back, she's fresh off a trip. In fact, she has the vacation glow about her.
So I call it raccoon eyes with a little bit of... He had sunglasses on.
And what do you do on your vacations, folks out there? Do you go to the beach? Do you go skiing? Do you go snorkeling? Do you go golfing? Well, Mayor likes to do golfing, so we'll talk about that when we come back here on The Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. Happy Thursday morning to you. It's 9:35 on KDXU. I'm with Nanette Billings, who is the mayor of Hurricane City. And Mayor, when you ran for election, everybody jokes about politicians don't keep their promises and stuff. What were some of the things that you ran on? And how, if you were to grade yourself, don't be hard on yourself, but don't be easy on yourself either. How do you think you're doing?
Well, that is a great question.
Make you think a little bit.
Well, I feel like I'm listening to citizens. I feel like that I'm...
That was the main thing you ran on too, right?
Yeah,
I'm of the people. I'm going to listen to you.
Yeah, and I feel like I am doing that. I feel like more than anything, I'm working really hard. I'm preparing and making sure that I know the issues. Because when you get into... It doesn't matter what position it is. If you go to work for a company, the first time that you're introduced to that company, even if you may know about it, you don't know the integral details and integral... Man, I can't even say the word.
Integral. Yeah.
Details of that position until you're there. And the important thing is fresh eyes. When you come in with fresh eyes, you see things and then you notice maybe things that weren't noticed before, and then you're just making sure that you are those eyes and ears for the citizens. And that's what's important. And I believe that when you come in with not, you can say, well, everyone has an agenda. Sure. I stand for faith, family, freedom. I mean, that's my agenda.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that those things happen. And so when you come into a situation, then you're always looking at it as what would everyone else in the community want out of this. And when you listen to what those wants and needs are from your community, it makes it easier to make decisions. And I don't really vote very often on our council. Most of the time it's the council voting. I've had a few times at our council, we've had some people like out of town on a council meeting. There's been a few times that I voted that have been kind of a critical vote. But I'm going to say the biggest issues come down with people that are in power for a long time. Because you're going to have staff that are there. And honestly, we have awesome staff in Hurricane City. We do. They're good people doing good things. But if you have the new elected official coming in and fresh eyes on a continual basis, and it's not the same people, you don't get stuck in not asking a question or not... I'm not going to say not questioning something, but I'm going to say just being in the right meeting to ask the question and to make sure that it's the best for everyone and not because it's hard. And here's a really great example. We were in a meeting and our staff was talking about the cemetery. And it's not that I disagree with staff on this. It's just, if something's hard, is that why we don't do something is the question. And they were saying it's difficult to sometimes move headstones or move the benches, and it was really about benches we were talking about, is that a good idea to do that? And so you can say, well, is it because it's hard that we have this ordinance, or is it easier for citizens to come to a cemetery and have a place to sit? and should we have benches or not because of that. And so the council kind of decided to go ahead and allow benches because it takes time for headstones or monuments to be made. Usually they're months, sometimes a year out.
Right.
So they've kind of put that till January of this next year. If the new council wants to change that in January of next year, they can and say, never mind, we're going to go ahead and allow anyone that has placed this monument before this time, then they can. And so it gives people, but I don't know, but my comment back to the staff was, just because it's hard doesn't mean we don't do it.
Right.
I mean, right. If it's a good idea to have benches in our cemetery, then we should, you know, you're only going to maybe move it one or two times. I don't know if you'll ever move it. Sometimes it might be, you know, lots of years. Sometimes, I mean, we have places in our cemetery that have never had their headstone moved because there's not somebody else around them. They needed to move it. So just, I think we have to make decisions based on what works instead of, well, that's kind of hard to do that. So
I'm fascinated with the relationship between elected officials like the mayor and the city council and those staffers, the city manager, the public works guy, the streets, you know, all these, you know, recreation, because they're the ones, the staff are the ones every day, 8 hours, 8, 9, 10 hours a day, they're there kind of dealing with the problems facing the citizenry and doing everything that needs to be done. And then you have these council members who were elected come in and say, well, let's do it different this way. And I think you're probably right. There are probably a lot of them that say, look, we've always done it this way, and there's a reason we've always done it this way. It's easier. And then a city council member will come in and say, it might be easier, but that's not the correct way to do it. And so I can see both sides of things. I can see
that. I can too. Yeah. First of all, you don't make it about you.
Right.
It's all about, you know, what is it that is best for the community here. And and sometimes you're going to have people mad at you no matter what. You can have staff or the citizens mad if you look at at something just, oh, this is the way I feel about it. But if you listen to what the citizen, the reason we have government in the first place is because of people. So we do need to recognize, well, how can we make it best for them? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have benches, that we should have benches. I'm just saying if people want a bench, you know, we have to listen to that. And if the staff doesn't want to move a bench, we have to listen to that and kind of come in the middle and figure out how to make it work so everyone's, so we can make it. Anyway.
All right. You want to talk to the mayor, call 673-5890, or you can text me at 435-467-5842. Here's a Hurricane Citizen said, I love my yard having decorated rock and high-quality fake grass, artificial turf. Let's see what else they said. Pretty much don't have any weeds if I see when I spray it to kill it when so small. When small, so I won't get more weeds. Electric bill and water bill has been reduced. Way easy to take care of my yard. So,
sweet.
Yeah. It's, you called it fresh eyes. I sometimes think of it as thinking outside of the box when it comes to things like that. Most of us anyway, grew up, you have a house, you have a front yard, you have a backyard, there's grass everywhere. You know, you throw the frisbee in the backyard, whatever. And that's the traditional way of doing things. But we don't live in a traditional place. Here in southern Utah, we live in the high desert, a place that gets really hot, and we lose a lot of water. And even though we have maybe this year enough water, the drought is not over. And so, like you said, you gotta think outside of the box a little bit and go, okay, I don't need a traditional giant front yard and giant backyard. Not full of grass anyway.
And there are ways that there's a lot of people that want to have that grass, and in the older homes they can keep all the grass that they want, but if they want to remove it they can get a rebate if they're you know, if they're available for that, or I should say if it's available in our area. But there's a lot of ways that you can reduce cost on water, and putting in desert scape will still continue with the cooling mechanism around your home, and that's probably the bigger issue, is keeping things cool so you don't just cause like a heat island right there,
right?
And cause that you'll have a lot of increased heat around your home. You do want to have that area, but there's a lot of areas that don't allow any landscape around their homes because they don't want any water to settle. We live in also an area of collapsible soil,
right.
And then we live where there's basalt, where you have to blast every single inch so you can build a home you know, put a sewer line 4 feet in the ground, and you absolutely have to be able to blast, you know, for everything that you do. So, yeah, it's pretty intense.
Now, Nanette is a mom and a grandma, right?
I am.
How many grandkids do you have?
Six
grandkids. There aren't, and I don't think there are that many moms and grandmas who are golfers. But Nanette is a golfer. Tell us about this trip you went on and what you did in Washington State, right?
Okay, well, and actually I started golfing really in college. I took a college class.
Okay, so you've been golfing a while.
And I'm not a great golfer. Let me just, like, put
that
on the table.
You've been doing it long enough, you must be halfway decent.
I like to do it. It's fun. And, in fact, last week I played with TDS in a charity thing at Sand Hollow, and it was awesome. It was a really fun, and they were working for Tance Treats and Switch Point and just a lot of the centers to promote. And so that was a really fun time. But Wendy, she works with TDS, and she called me up and said, "Would you like to golf?" And I said, "I do like to golf." And she goes, "Awesome." She goes, "I'm not a golfer, but I'd love to." She goes, "I've taken one lesson or something." And I said, "I love it. It's fun." So my husband's a good golfer, and I like to go with him. So that's how it kind of started. But when I was in college, I remember there were two golf pros that were like our teachers at that time. And I remember
them. And where
was this? At SUU.
SUU, okay. Yeah.
And I remember the class when they said, "If you learn how to golf, then you'll do business on the golf course."
True.
And I did not plan on, well, that's kind of weird. I plan on being a teacher. That's what I graduated in college to do. And thought, okay. But I thought, well, I won't be doing business on the golf course because if I teach, that has nothing to do with it.
Right.
But my husband is a financial advisor. And so my husband, actually, I've gone many, many times with him on the golf course. But now that I've been mayor, I've gone many, many times with
Mayor business.
Mm. And it's a good place to have a good conversation. It's a golf course. And
so,
it's fun.
So back to your trip. You went to Washington and did what?
We did golf. We golfed twice. We did other things too. But we golfed at Gold Mountain and Rolling Hills.
Are those up in Seattle area?
They are.
We
went into Bremerton.
Okay.
And both of them are close to that area, Seattle, Bremerton.
Now, we all think
area.
Seattle area, it must have been rainy. Did you golf in the rain, or was it?
There was not one drop.
Really?
Whole trip, the 5 days we were there, was just clear. Beautiful skies. I heard it was really thunderstorms, and we had rain here, but we had nothing up there while we were there.
That's crazy. We're in the desert.
We brought the
sunshine
with us.
Yeah.
But it's
awesome.
Really nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, very beautiful.
So do you have a handicap? Is that, like, do people, like, are you like a 10 handicap? Or
I have no idea. I've never done it. No, I hardly ever even keep score. I just have a good time.
I can tell you right now, even if you're not that great, you're better than I am. I am not a golfer. I used to golf a lot when I was in my 20s, teens and 20s.
That's fun.
But then we had kids. Yeah. And I did not golf for about 20 years. I went without even touching a golf club.
Okay.
And I picked it up a few times since then, but I need to take lessons. One of my problems I had is I'm a very tall person. I'm 6'5", and I would have to lean over to actually get low enough to touch the ball because I'm so tall. I really need some custom clubs and some lessons before I ever can be any good.
Well, golf is one of those things that you can just do even if you're not good, and it's just fun just to be out there on the course. And it's like pickleball. You don't have to be great at pickleball to enjoy it. You can. I'm going to say there's lots of sports that are like that, and I'm grateful. Like this Copper Rock tournament that we just had in Hurricane last month,
LPGA,
it was for women to see that they could go and. Well, you can see good golfers that are female golfers. We had a meeting with Women's Leadership Institute, and I'd invited 10 people in our city to attend that meeting. And after the meeting, I said, "So how was the meeting?" Because I was golfing with a pro at that time. And their comment of these 10 people was, they talked about how we need to learn to golf because business is done on the golf course, and it's really good for us to network. And they said, "So why weren't you at this meeting?" And I said, "I was doing business and networking on the golf course while you're having this meeting to learn how to do that." And that's really, I mean, golf is just one of those fun things that you can just have a good time and relax.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. I still don't want to go out on the course, so I'm going to embarrass myself. I will say this about, and this is a crazy thing about golf, and you can probably relate, is you can be having a lousy round.
Yep.
And you'll hit one shot that is like, wow,
awesome.
If I could do that every time, then you want to come back because you want to do that every time,
that's
or at least more often. And Yeah.
That's... Well, I don't get frustrated because I say I don't spend enough time doing this. I don't have enough time to do that. But right. I like to go. It's just, anyway, yeah.
Can you, what's your area? Are you a good putter or short game or off the tee? Or?
I don't know if I have a, like, I can drive pretty well.
Can you?
I can.
So that's my weak spot. I'm a good putter. I'm a good chipper, but I am not good at the long game.
If I get a good drive, I mean, and you realize the women's tees in front of the men's, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you can get 60 or 70 yards, which is a pretty good
advantage.
Yeah, a really good advantage. And occasionally, if we're playing best ball, people can use my ball if that comes up. So,
have you ever beaten Willie? Have you ever?
We have never taken score where we've ever done that way. I don't think so, ever. Like, he's good.
You wouldn't be allowed to mention it on the radio if you did, right? Isn't that how that works?
No, he's pretty humble, but I know I'm not beating him. He's better.
All right, let's take a quick phone call. Hi, you're on with Mayor Billings. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
So I was just wondering when the Del Taco is going to open, and I was also wondering if there's ever any plans to build, like, a Panda Express or something out there, because we don't have any Chinese food anymore ever since they shut down that buffet. So
yeah, that's a great question. So Del Taco, they said they're going to plan on being open by in June, and Jimmy John's in the next couple of weeks as well, so we'll kind of see. But yeah, Panda, good question. So all of those are brought in by actual individuals that want to open up one of those stores. So the government doesn't open up Panda or Del Taco or Jimmy John's or any of those. We don't bring any, but we have visited with some different owners of different businesses, and we're excited about some of them that we visited with, so we're hoping that works out and that they decide.
You can't give any names yet though.
Not yet on a couple of them, but we're excited. We've got some good areas that we've got some people pretty committed, so we'll see. We've got some good things coming. Yeah.
Is it true that you guys they're going to build a particular power plant in American? I heard something about that.
I couldn't tell what you said. To build what?
I've heard some guy at work told me that there was talks about a nuclear power plant being built out in Hurricane. Is that true?
Okay. No, that's not true. We're not building it in Hurricane, but Hurricane is purchased into that new scale plant that's going to be built in Idaho. And I will tell you, talk about efficiency and safety. You have three people that can run it, and they're not in hazmat suits. They are just in normal clothes, and three people can run it. And it's the actual reactors are about the size of your thumb, and they're put in a case about the size of a ring. And so it's not, and they last 3 to 4 months. And so the storage facility is not crazy, and there's so many, there's different regulations for this plant because of that. They're just called the small reactors, but anyway, it's pretty awesome. We're hoping that everything moves forward with that project, because talk about solutions right now with our federal delegation and the regulations they have on energy. It's very difficult for someone to start and build some type of a power plant.
Right.
And so many are going offline with coal, even natural gas. And the cost really comes down to supply and demand. I mean, you're dealing with when a decatherm of natural gas goes from $4 to $49, that's huge. And that's why we're having such a crisis with our power, is because we're losing the ability to keep power and the generation. But we're hoping it goes through.
Got to get a break in. Somebody did text and say, do you know when Mountain Mike's Pizza will open?
This month.
It's coming,
open this month.
Very soon.
And Nun Mum's Cookies. They just applied for a business license. It was brought in on Wednesday.
For what?
Nun Mum Cookies.
That's
what it's called. Nun Mum Cookies, okay. And Mountain Mike's Pizza. Both of them should be open right now.
Kind of fun to watch the mayor say Nun Mum, though.
That's right. Nun Mum.
Okay, Nun Mum.
That's
say
right
this
by
month.
Walmart. Right in front of Walmart by Reeves and Roosh Law Firm.
You
right
said
there.
Mountain Mike's this month. This month only has a weekend. Do you mean in May?
Yeah. They're
opening very
right
soon.
Now. I heard they were opening very soon.
Very cool. All right. We'll take a break. Be back with Mayor Billings more after this. It's a Thursday. It's a Mayor Thursday here on the Andy Griffin Show. We had Chris Staley. Actually, last week we didn't have a mayor because I was out of town. We had Chris Staley 2 weeks ago. Mayor Randall Before that, we've got Mayor Nanette Billings from Hurricane City with us today, looking lovely as always. Nanette, thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
I was hoping you could maybe explain a little bit more about the nuclear power that Hurricane has signed into. Just maybe the nuts and bolts of where's the plant, how's the power going to get to the people that need it, and how much will it help?
Okay. So the plant will be in Idaho Falls at the, it's at the Idaho Falls University.
Idaho Falls is that Idaho State?
It's Idaho State University is where And so they're building the reactors. They're building a new plant there. And it's I know that they've just finished all of the legal paperwork to actually be able to open the plant.
So it's about 500 miles from here.
Right. And so it will go through transmission. The transmission lines, UAMPS, is the... I'm going to say Big Brother. That's how I'm going to explain it. So UAMPS is the Utah Municipal Power Association.
Okay.
And Hurricane City's part of that UAMPS project. And UAMPS lets cities like Hurricane, that's not big enough to have our own generation, they let us pick different projects throughout the... We can be close or far that they purchase into or... buy off the grid, and then that's how we generate, and we purchase the power, and then it comes through transmission from all over. Like if we buy into a wind project or a solar project or a hydro project or a coal project or a natural gas project, whichever it is, or this NuScale project, all of them are through UAMPS that we've purchased into, and then it's transmitted through our lines to our city. And that's how, and right now currently we're working on some transmission in our city, because right now most of the lines are distribution, means it goes straight to the home, but transmission is where it brings the power in, and we are building a transmission line, and we are in the process of getting dedicated easements so that we can build this line, but we need this line so that everyone can have power. And it's interesting because when you're talking to citizens and they're frustrated with giving up roadway or for the roadway and easement from their property, they had to have someone before them give up some of their property in order to have power and a road get to their house.
Right.
And so it's just part of building. It's just part of building a city and having a place for people to be able to have power, water, sewer, all of it go in the easements and roadway. And they had to have someone before them do that. So they're saying, well, I already did it. Someone else already did it, or I already gave up some of my property. Why should I have to give up more? Or why should we have to build that right here? It's because the next person down, it's called two and through, came to your house, and now I have to go through and go further so someone else can have it. So.
Is there a timeline? You keep talking about all this as if it's in the future.
It's not in that far of a future. We're working on it right now. We're actually working on the acquisition of property, proposals and easements, and we've been doing some adjustments with some different agents so that they can work with residents to give them the fair market value of their appraisal, and then we're working on these the lines.
And hopefully power bills will go down eventually.
That's what we're hoping.
That's the plan. Right. All right. Thank you, Nanette. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Andy.
Did a great job as always. The Andy Griffin Show, back with open lines tomorrow. Look forward to talking to you then.